extra.
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet...
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die.
I am not a very politically correct competitor.
I didn't know that about you.
I want to step on their windpipe and turn them upside down and shake them until their wallet falls out and then step on it. But I think that there is an advantage that, and you didn't mention this either, but someone will say, I'm happy with who I have. Or they will say, I'm not interested. Don't be blaming the customer. If somebody says you're not interested, it's because you're not interesting.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's how I look at it.
That's exactly right. I mean, when you come in and say, let me tell you about my company, we started in 1940, people are like, I don't care about that.
Right.
What are you talking to me about? They care about the few things that they really want. And if you do your research, and I don't know how you cannot do your research. I wrote this post the other night about, could you sell without your tech stack? Could you sell without PowerPoint? Could you sell without text messaging? Could you sell without all these things? Because if you can sell with a pen and a legal pad and understand the strategic outcomes, all the other tech stack stuff is going to be amazing. We didn't have LinkedIn. There was no LinkedIn. You
Correct.
Actually had to work to find out about the company
Correct.
And the people.
Mm-hmm.
You had to go to networking events. You had to read the business journal.
Thomas Register.
It was work.
Horrible.
It was work. Now, if you don't do this, it's criminal negligence. Like you didn't go and get the – and guess who typed in the profile on LinkedIn? They did. So what did they want you to know about them? They told you. How could you not do that? Much, much easier now. But they care about the three or four things that they really want as strategic outcomes. That makes you interesting.
So what would you say to our diehards who are just trying to get that first meeting, but they don't even know how to break in because the customer doesn't even want to know about the differentiators because they're already happy with who they're working with?
Or they think they are.
Right.
Right.
That's what
they
now know.
Correct.
It's not new no.
That's right. I'm going to tell you, you have to have something that says there's a compelling reason to change. And I use this talk track that a lot of people are using that we'll get into an argument about in just a minute. We've already had this argument, but we're going to keep having it because we like it. We like arguing.
Yeah. I think you guys have fun at that.
We
well,
do.
And
the
cool part is he
relax.
Actually thinks he's right.
So do you.
Yeah. No, I know I'm right.
And I know you're wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's
okay.
What makes this fun. They're going to call, and they call a prospective client and say, Mr. Gittimer, I'd love to stop by and introduce myself and my company, learn a little bit about you. What do you look like? Is Thursday at 1 good or Friday at 11 be better?
Could you stop reading your script and talk to me like a fucking human being?
Yeah. Could you be a human being?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see.
Are you going to bring ideas or a pitch deck?
there's only a pitch deck, right? For most companies, it's a pitch deck. Instead of a pitch deck, you need an insight deck that says there's strategic outcomes and here's what's going to impact those over the next 18 to 24 months mm-hmm. or 36 months. So instead of that, I call and I say, this is Anthony Iannarino. I'm with Gittimer Incorporated. I'm calling you today to ask you for a 20-minute executive briefing where I can share with you the three or four trends that we're following most closely and helping our clients answer questions around. Whether you ever do business with us or not, you are going to make some different decisions over the next 18 to 24 months in these areas. I'll leave you with the deck, and I promise you're going to challenge your management team to answer some of these questions with you because you will start making different decisions in the future. What do you look like Thursday for a 20-minute executive briefing? Now, I'm trying to do two things there. 20 minutes means that they have an out. If I suck, they have an out, right? You said 20 minutes, I give you 20 minutes. If you come in and you have the insights to say, this is what's going on in your world, this is what's going to affect your business, and you can talk about that. The one thing, and I know you know this, the thing that executives are afraid of is being surprised and somebody realizing they didn't know something that they should have known. So if you want to be a trusted advisor, you only need two things. You know what they are?
Yeah. You have to be trustworthy and you have to give good advice.
Right, right. Trust and advice. It's a pretty simple recipe, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't have the advice, if you can't come in and say, these are the things that you should be focused on, these are the things that you should be concerned with, you're not interesting. Okay, you work for a really good company. That's great. What you're trying to do as a sales rep, though, when you say, let me tell you about my company, let me tell you about our products, don't believe that I'm supposed to be the value creator here. I have no way to create value. All I do is bring you this pitch deck and tell you about the company and the product. No, you have to have the insight and the ideas. You have to tell me how I'm supposed to run my business better. So the trusted advisor part falls apart for people right now because they don't have the advice part. So you have to do the work. And how could you find out what trends are impacting, say, healthcare? You could Google it maybe and find out that there's hundreds of links that mm-hmm. say top 10 trends impacting mm-hmm. healthcare.
Diehards, I'm going to challenge Anthony just with a couple of words and it'll make it a lot smoother. Anthony, my name is Jeffrey Gittimer. You probably don't know me from a sack of potatoes, but we're pretty adept in your industry. I'd like about 20 minutes of your time, and rather than go through a boring slide deck, I'm going to send you the slide deck today so you can take a look for yourself and see if I'm full of it or not. I'm going to be there, and in my 20 minutes, I'm going to give you three ideas, and all I ask is if you like them, you run with them. Fair enough?
Fair enough. Yeah.
Why would you put somebody through the fucking boring bullshit of a slide deck where you're going click, 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 and not just give the guy the deck?
Well, no, you could give them the deck too. And in fact, I would tell you the follow-on for this is if you're trying to displace somebody who's had a relationship for 10 years, one, you're not going to try to do this in one call.
Correct.
You're going to give them tons of content because you now have the ability to do that. So let me tell you about the deck though. The deck has to have data. The deck has to explain why change, and the deck has to have your tough questions embedded in there. And the only reason people ask for the deck at the end is because they say, I got to share this with my team.
Mm-hmm.
And the deck has to be worthy of being shared. But there's nothing wrong with sending it in front and saying, look, when we get there, I'll share with you our three best ideas for what to do right now. It's hard to say no to that. It's a good message.
If you want to embed something in there, embed three testimonials from people that have switched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then now the guy's wanting to know.
Yeah, I don't tend to do that in that one personally, only because I'm just trying to get the why change. Because if I get the why change and we get that conversation started, we're on our way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't try to do too much proof providing at the beginning.
I do.
Which is, yeah, and it's okay. There's different things. There's not one way to get the yes.
Yes, there is.
There's lots of
ways. Jeffrey thinks his way is the only way.
No, I know it.
It's the Gittimer way and it works.
Yeah.
The great Carl Allen. So let's talk more about what you do and how do you do it. Should somebody who's listening right now consider buying a business instead of trying to build one?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Starting a brand new business is the riskiest, most painful thing, you know, one can do. I'll tell you why. So you've heard of Michael Gerber. He's the author of The E-Myth, probably the best business book that I've ever read. So this is his data. 96% of startups fail inside of the first 10 years. 50% fail inside of the first 12 months. And the reason, the primary reason that startups fail is because when you start a brand new company, you have no cash, no credit, no customers, no employees, no products or services, no
premises. Have an idea, and your mom said it was a good idea, right?
No reputation, you just have an idea. And it's very hard to build a business just off an idea without all of those different things. If you have a truckload of capital, then you can, you know, you can go through and you can survive in some cases. And you know, for me, my kind of sensible idea is don't start a business, go and buy a business that somebody else has built and no longer wants anymore. And if you look at the statistics, just in the United States, in 2018, 7 million Americans, this is according to Forbes, 7 million Americans started a brand new business in 2018. Wow. 3.5 million of them will fail by the end of this year. Yet, there's over 2.4 million small businesses. And for me, a small business is $1 to $10 million in revenues or less than 50 employees. There's over 2.4 small businesses for sale in the United States today, and only one in 13 are actually going to sell in the next 12 months. So rather than risk your health, your money, your retirement, whatever it is, your marriage, starting a new company that's you've got a 96% failure rate, go and buy a business that somebody's built and doesn't want anymore. And one of my analogies for that is Tesla. So in the UK, we're a little bit antiquated. We're not as technologically advanced as America. And Tesla.
Thank you
just
for admitting that, by the way.
No, it's fine. So Tesla's
just
in
the fucking Stone Age. Let's face it. You got fences that have rocks around it for borders, and you play golf, and there's no fairways. Come on.
Absolutely. So Tesla arrived in the UK late last year, and I thought that's pretty cool. So I went and I ordered a Tesla. So if I wanted a Tesla, I could have gone and bought the wheels, the screen, the aluminium, the battery, the big screen that sits in the middle, all the electrics, and I could have assembled all this stuff on my driveway and figured out, you know, how do I build it? Or did I go to Tesla and did I buy a Tesla that they built and then financed it through Tesla? That's what I did. So my analogy is do that in a business rather than building one from scratch. Because it, you know, everyone gets kind of hung up on, you know, I want to innovate. I want to do something really cool. I want to do something really unique that no one's ever seen before. And that's great. I'm not here to crush entrepreneurial spirit, but go do that inside of a business that's that you can buy that's kind of related to what that new innovation is. Because guess what? There'll be people in that business that can help you do it. You'll still have cash flow from that business while you're innovating. And then once you've built something new, you've already got a customer base that's probably going to buy it. And they can even help you design it. So
should I buy a franchise that they're guaranteeing me a startup thing and they're going to help me find it and finance it? Or should I buy a business that's existing and running?
Yeah, go buy a business. I'm not a fan of buying franchises for a couple of reasons. Number one, depends on what the franchise is, of course. But you know, if you went to Subway and you drop $70,000 to acquire a Subway franchising, and maybe you can finance some of that, you've got to have at least $150,000 of working capital, you know, to make that work. Mm-hmm. And there's loads of restrictions with franchises, you know, based on your territory and the fees and royalties and all those things that you've got to kind of pay back the franchisor. But then it's impossible to sell a franchise. You know, why would you sell a franchise for a profit when somebody can open up down the street? You know, I was in London last week, which is the capital of the UK, and
I've heard of it.
They have a bridge, right? I'm in the Uber. We have Uber now in the UK. It's amazing.
Oh, that's civilized. Do they call you governor?
They call me governor. No more horses. No more horses in the UK.
I love when I get in the taxi in the UK and they call you governor. Where to, governor?
Where to, governor? Yeah, where to? So, yeah, so Uber now. I'm in the Uber and I'm flying around London and I must have gone past 50 subways in a 10-minute drive. Yeah. So why would you open a subway when, you know, it's impossible to sell that franchise? You can, somebody can open up across the street. It's terrible. So, no, I'm always a big fan of go, you know, don't start a company, don't buy a franchise, go and buy an existing business that's not franchised, that somebody else has built and no longer wants to own. And that's the key, no longer wants to own.
Yeah. So let me throw an alternative at you. I have a client who is in the mosquito killing business in people's backyards.
Okay.
It costs very little to get started. It costs maybe $30,000, which I think is about 400 million pounds. But it's 30,000 bucks, and you start the business from scratch, literally. You put out flyers. You get customers. They love the product. And he's got about 50 franchisees that have become millionaires.
Okay.
He has a proven track record. And I think that there are occasionally there's an alternative that you can go to. But for the most part, if you're taking a $100,000 flyer or a $200,000 flyer based on a brand, it's a big – you're going to work your ass off. The people in Subway franchises, they work from 10 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And if they're lucky, they get the volume they need. And if they're not, they don't. But there's thousands of them. And there's no territory. It's just bad. With this guy, you get a territory, you get the, you know, you get everything you need, a protected place. And it's a great business. It's the Mosquito Authority, if you want to look them up.
Yeah.
You'll find the CEO started out by doing it himself in his own backyard.
Yeah, perfected the process, yeah?
Exactly. And I think that there's a lot to that. The entrepreneurial spirit is still alive. And what you're doing are matching entrepreneurs or getting entrepreneurs involved in a business that they can put their foot on the gas. Welcome to Motivation Monday.
All right, Adam is on the chat, and Adam would like to know how to keep a positive attitude. So we've discussed sort of transforming your attitude from negative to positive, but once you've done that, what are the keys to sustaining that attitude?
You go and I'll go.
Well,
don't want to hurt your
feelings. It's daily.
Yeah.
I mean, it's repetition.
Exactly.
It's the same way you it's like eating, right? It's like bathing. We must do it daily. So if you take a day off, it's going to dip down, and it's a daily practice is what it is.
You make yourself feel good every day. The way you start your day will pretty much determine the way you end your day. And so I start the day focusing on myself. I'm the most important person in the world, and in order for me to be my best that I can be for other people, first I have to be the best I can be for myself. So I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to – when I say I read in the morning, I read positive things. When I say I write in the morning, I write positive things. And I think the key to that is how you put yourself in that frame of mind. You create that mindset, which is now the key buzzword. It used to be called focus. And before that, Napoleon Hill called it concentration. But it's the same exact thing. The way you put yourself into that groove, the way you dedicate yourself to the way you think – will help you with that positive attitude and maintain it, but you have to do it every day. You can't wake up and have a crappy day.
I always like to say, you know, you feel what you focus on. If you're focusing on shit, guess what you feel like? Shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Or what's wrong with, you know, the traffic or all the other crap.
Yeah, so change your focus. I mean, if you don't feel good, you got to force yourself to think of something great. And it can be the same thing every day, or if you get creative, you find new stuff.
If you've just joined us here on Facebook Live, we're talking to Glenn Bill. He founded the University of Attitude, and he's the author of the ABCs of Attitude. Glenn, this sounds like a process to me, like, you know, sustaining this attitude, gaining this attitude, and then working every day to sustain it. I assume like any process, you're going to have ups and downs, right? Like people have bad days. How do you recover from that bad attitude day and sort of stay on track, stay on the attitude wagon?
Well, I mean, it's just like working out. You got to build what I call your attitude muscle. If you do push-ups every day, you can – there you go, Jeffrey. Look at that one. You know, yeah, it's not – it's like you can do 5 push-ups a day, then you can do 6, then you can do 10. So you got to build your attitude muscle. And you know, is it a process? I'm a pretty black and white guy. It's a decision. It's not a process. Let's not make this tougher than it is.
Yeah, I agreed.
Right? So, you know, get it done.
You mold yourself, basically. You wake up in the morning and you decide, Is it going to be good or is it not going to be good? And there are keys to it. I've given the keys many times. One of the keys is writing everything down or documenting everything, text it to yourself or put on your iPad before you go to bed. And that way you wake up clear and you're not foggy with, oh, all the crap I got to do. What do I got to do? I got to remember. You don't have to remember anything. Once you write it down, you never have to remember it. That's number one. And that creates an ability for you to go in and maybe clear some of the fog before you start your routine. Now you're clear to be able to do whatever you think is best for you and you get it done.
It reminds me of a saying that your vitality as a person, or as your vitality and attitude, is in direct proportion to your vision. Mm-hmm. And what I find is people that are sloths, I call them zombies. I can see zombies from a mile away. You just walk through a mall and you go, zombie, zombie, zombie.
Yeah.
And they have no vision. And so, you know, to answer the question is what's your vision? And if you don't have a vision, guess what? You're living someone else's.
But here's the deal. You have seen somebody you know at the mall, and they look like they're having the shittiest day on the planet. And you walk up to them and you go, hey, how's it going? And they go, oh, okay, it's great. Everything's fine. Perfectly fine. They're happy to see you, and you can actually change the attitude of other people.
No question about it.
And it's the best example lately has been from my she was 9, she's now 10. We flew down to the beach because we were going to beat the crowd. It's a 4-hour drive. It's a 20-minute flight. And I said, come on, we're going to take an airplane. We're going to get there early. You know, get to the airport, delay, hour, change gates, 2 hours, change gates again, 3. They brought out the snack tray. That's how bad they felt about
that's
it.
That's not good. That's not good.
Totally not good. So 4 hours we're on the plane, and the pilot comes on and says, I apologize for the delay. Thanks for flying American Eagle. And Gabrielle screams, you mean American Vulture? And the plane, everyone was in a shit mood. They were in a great mood. In 1 second, they were in a great mood. This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to the GittimerLearningAcademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.